I'm Ellen.
And I'm Hannah.
This is Pretty Zitty.
All right, so today we are very honored to have my friend Liz, also Ellen's new friend, I'm imagining, because they just met.
Yep.
And we have Liz on because we want to talk about scars, and not just like your run-of-the-mill scars, but scarring that comes from more of a life event, like something intense and traumatic. And Ellen obviously has experience with that as well, so this cuts close to home, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody has some sort of scar. It's just like the deeper ones that you're asking your doctor, like, hey, I don't know if I want this anymore. How do I get rid of it? Or this is like a different texture. This looks different than I'm used to looking. And it's something that I had a surgery back in July of 2020 that produced three pretty deep scars. And it was a big change for me. And so Hannah mentioned that her friend had a story about scars, but I don't know how you got them. So it's like kind of, it's nice to talk to somebody who feels, I'm just assuming at this point that you feel similarly that I do, but I'm excited to like hear your story and for us to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, Liz. We're glad to have you.
I am honored, and I'm just, as forewarning, going to say that throughout the whole podcast, making it very hard to cut it out, because I'm just going to say I'm so honored to be on this podcast 50 times. So when Hannah says, no, I don't want this, all this compliments toward me, I'm just going to keep intermittently saying it throughout the entire podcast. But it's an honor to be here.
Yay.
Good. I'm glad.
So just for our listeners' background, Liz, feel free to chime in. But before we get into your story, I just want to say how we know each other.
Kidnasium.
I remember, what'd you say?
You guys met at the Kidnasium.
So we met somewhere very similar to a Kidnasium called college. And, well, okay, not really. But Liz and I, so we have a mutual friend. And I remember hearing from this friend that they had a roommate for their freshman year of college. And they were like, yeah, her name is Liz. And she seems really cool. And then I met you and I was like, okay, Liz is cool. I'm going to make Liz, instead of my friend of a friend, it's going to be a straight up friend.
We're going to tie down that barrier and just make it a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to that summer that we first met, that was the summer of your accident, right?
Actually, yes, that is correct. Good timing.
So that was summer 2016. No, 2015, I think.
2015, yes.
Yeah. What was your life like the day of your accident? Like, how did it go, like, leading up to it? I'm really curious, like, just like step by step, what happened that day?
Well, conveniently for me and for the listeners, I do not remember the day at all. So I don't remember. However, what my life was like, wasn't a great summer. Had my first heartbreak in college, and I was just sad. I was home with friends, but I just don't remember it being a great summer. But I was excited for next year, kind of thing like that. I was in a transitional period anyway.
So can you describe then your first moment of realizing that you had been in an accident? And then maybe we can back up after that and you can explain, like, actually literally what happened and what you were told.
Right. So I was in a unique situation, and this is also a very unique situation because I had a traumatic brain injury. So I don't remember like a month of my life. So the interesting part, though, is the memories I have, I can't kind of differentiate. Are they my memories? Are they pictures? Are they from other people? Am I pixelating things and I'm kind of combining things together into one memory? So I don't really know. And that's kind of confusing when you're trying to kind of think, well, this is supposed to be like the most monumental thing of your entire life. And you're kind of trying to figure out what's even real. So I think that's been kind of an interesting post-accident kind of thing of how do I feel about it? Because it's kind of hard to figure that out when you don't remember anything.
Yeah. So do you mind explaining? I guess we were dancing around it, but like, do you mind telling the story then of what happened to you?
Yeah. So, and again, don't remember. I mean, this is a huge, 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 huge blessing that I don't remember anything. So, because I get to tell the story and it's a great story, but I have no trauma mentally from it, I guess I should say, from like the, I remember it, now I have PTSD. My friend and I were driving down the highway. It was stop traffic. So it was rush hour. No one was moving. And then previously, maybe 100 feet down the road, there was a guy who was getting a little agitated. He was saying, I'm not going to wait in this traffic anymore. But I guess as a stopping point, before that moment, he decided it'd be a great idea to shoot up on PCP. So I don't know what PCP is, but for the listeners, it's a really bad drug. It's the kind of drug that your friends that do all the drugs say, oh, I wouldn't do that drug. It's that kind of drug. It's a crazy synthetic drug. So he's now high as hell, getting hot, because apparently that's a side effect of this very drug. And it's like, I'm hot, so I'm going to take off my clothes. So he's in the car, rush hour traffic, stopped in the highway, and just starts throwing his clothes out the window. He's in a gardening truck, so like a flatbed gardening truck, if you can kind of picture that. He's like, I'm so hot, I want to take out my gardening equipment, and starts putting that out the window on the highway. So now I've got clothes out the window, I got gardening equipment. And then he's like, you know what? I don't want to wait. And I am a man, so I will not, I refuse to wait for anybody else. And then goes in the emergency lane and goes like 80 miles an hour. Because again, the man had to go to the casino immediately. He was going to the casino, we found out. And then starts sideswiping cars and hits the median and then flips on top of my car. So that is a major car accident that he himself has been in, but he is so high, he has the strength to crawl out from underneath the upside down car and get up, look at the shitty, you know, look at the mess he just made and go, you know what? I'm probably gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna start running. So he starts running down the highway. And let's remember, he is completely naked.
He's no underwear?
He is nothing. He is absolutely nothing on. So then, and again, let me say, on both sides of the median, people are not moving because it's rush hour traffic. So can you imagine, you're sitting in traffic, all of a sudden you see this naked man running down the highway. So then cops start to hear of the accident. And so they're like, okay, where, what happened? And then they see this guy start to realize, oh, that's the guy who created it. They then start chasing him down the highway while he is naked. They start to tase him. He is so high, he won't go down. So now there is a naked man trying to get tased by the police. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. It's a real thing, I promise. Finally, I think they tackled him. But PCP, just as a shout out to PCP, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, don't drive, because you will get naked and you will get tased and you can't do anything about it.
It reminds me when they need to, I don't know if you've seen Parks and Rec, but when they need to move that giant fridge, and then like when Leslie is in the garbage episode, and April goes, all we need is some PCP. You can move anything on angel dust. And
yeah,
that's like all I really think of.
I mean, like, he literally was in a major car accident and had the strength to just run.
So his truck is upside down on top of y'all's car.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So Liz, you were on the news too, right? Just as a side note, like, this was a huge story, obviously, because it's crazy.
It was on national news. It was the ninth craziest crime story in 2015. My first thought is that's nine. So that means that eight other crime stories were like, you know what? That one is not as good. So I got upset about that because I'm like, come on, guys. I almost died for this. I deserve better than nine. I deserve eight or at least five. What beat me? And then there's other stuff too. And it was probably political, but I was the ninth.
It's probably political.
To my knowledge, and I don't fully know, I think it was definitely national and it was definitely Cincinnati. And I think it was national though.
Wow. That is crazy. Wait, so can you describe what your injuries were?
Yes. So my arm got pretty cut up pretty badly. So that's one of the most prominent scars, because when the window hit, it shattered. And then my diaphragm got injured, which helps. I don't know what the diaphragm even was. It helps you breathe, so it's kind of important. I think that got ruptured. So then they had to go in that night and do repairs on that. So I got a surgery scar on my stomach from that. And then because of the diaphragm, breathing was an issue. So did the breathing tube. And once you get the breathing tube out, a tracheotomy was put in. Which, fun fact, Catherine Zeta-Jones had a tracheotomy. So me and Catherine Zeta-Jones share the same scar. You can always tell because they're always the same place in the same spot. So tracheotomy was put in to help me breathe better. But the big one, another one was I had a traumatic brain injury. Because the car landed on top, the airbags didn't deploy. So my head hit the console. So I don't remember anything, but I don't have any effect from it, which is also amazing. So now do a lot of, when I do stupid stuff, do people say, was that you? Or is that the brain injury still? A little bit, yes. So that is kind of a little side effect, but there's that. And then just the carotid artery, which is the artery up to the neck, got stretched. So I just have to get MRIs every 2 years and take aspirin every day. But that's, are you serious? That's it? That's not bad. So altogether, that was the gist. Oh yeah, and I broke 6 ribs. I forgot about that.
Hello.
I mean, that's just a lot.
That is a lot. However, yeah, no, the other positive thing about that was it does suck to break 6 ribs. I did actually forget about that. But because I wasn't moving, because I, like, when my neighbor broke 1 rib, he was like, this is the most painful thing ever. And I'm like, okay, guy, like, you're, but also put in fact, I was on the hardest drugs a human being could be on, and I wasn't moving. So that really kind of lowers the side effects of a broken rib.
Yeah.
The carotid artery, that's really interesting because can't that cause strokes?
Yes. That's why they're super cautious about it. That's why I'm on aspirin. So the blood flow is super thin because if it obviously gets too thick, then that could block and then you get a stroke. And that's exactly how that is. Yeah. So that just has to be watched.
So you mentioned having scars from the window breaking and you have a lot of scars on your arm, you were saying. You have a scar from a tracheotomy. You have a scar on your abdomen from all the work they had to do on your diaphragm. I mean, scars are pretty, I feel like they're loaded, like, just because they are very physical representations of traumatic experiences and of injuries and pain and all of that. Like, were you ever self-conscious or wish that you didn't have them? I mean, I'm definitely being presumptuous. I'm being presumptuous. How do you say that?
Presumptuous?
Presumptuous.
Presumptuous. Yes. I'm being a little presumptuous, I guess, because I'm asking, like, was that something that you were self-conscious about? Just because I know that I have been self-conscious about scars. But is that something that was ever, like, on your mind? Or were you pretty, I mean, you sound really positive about the whole experience now. Like, did you start out feeling one way and that's changed over time? Or what are you, I don't know, what is your relationship to your scars?
I'm not too impacted by my scars. And I think it's twofold. One being, and I do mean this honestly, and without bragging by any means, I just have a overall very low self-awareness about myself and how my appearance is. However, my arm one, when I'm wearing nice clothes, yeah, then I'll be a little bit more attentive to the arm because the arm is really the only one that can be seen. The trach's pretty well hidden, and obviously the stomach one isn't a big deal. And honestly, how it works, and I guess I could always send a picture of it. I have blotches up at the top part and then an actual scar. Well, the scar looks super badass. Always love that because it looks like, and I always used to tell drunk guys in bars that I got it from a shark bite. And they'd be like, oh, really? Where? And then I'd have to kind of tell a dumb story about that. But the top part I was never really crazy about. That's the one part that I'm like, ugh, kind of doesn't wish I was there. And I did go to a plastic surgeon once right after it happened just to see, like, hey, what can you do? And they basically were like, look, if it's not surgery based, we can't do much. So I would say overall, I've had a pretty positive outlook on them. But yeah, there are times, rarely, but they do definitely happen, especially when I'm wearing, like, nicer stuff or I'm going to a nice event. I want to look really good. Yeah, I'm like, oh, the blotches. It's just the blotches on the arm. I'm like, ugh. But I also think the second part of it is like the narrative that I've built around the scars and the fact of, like, what people have been telling me is like, oh my God, you a life-saving event. Wow, that's so badass. You know, kind of things that, so that's what I've been kind of built around this story and the narrative that I've told myself. So therefore, when I look at the scars, this narrative that I've been kind of sharing is the fact that, wow, I'm a badass. This is like the coolest thing I've ever happened to me. So I think that's also kind of helping the overall insecurity and low awareness of it.
Yeah. I guess I can probably tell you what happened to me, which was, it might enlighten you as to why I have. So I have 3 scars that I got when a surgery went, like a routine surgery went kind of wrong this past summer. I was going in to get a rib and a few muscles removed. I have this condition called thoracic outlet syndrome, which is basically where your first rib and these muscles crush your vein. So then there's no like blood flow to your arm. And so I had a blood clot in my arm and they removed it and it came back. And so they were like, we have to remove your ribs and these muscles. And so I did that. And unfortunately, during that surgery, I had a pulmonary embolism and I was asleep for it. I don't remember any of it. So, I mean, when you're talking about how, like, you don't remember that, like, I was talking about this last night, actually, too, with my parents, where I was just like, I'm glad I don't remember too much of the hospital, to be honest with you. I was in the hospital for a week, and then I went back for 4 days. So I was discharged, and then my clot came back, and then I had to go back in. So I have a scar that was supposed to be only about 2.5 inches long. It ended up being about 5 or 6 inches long, which is, it's right here. It's like right above my collarbone. And then I have two scars on like the inside of my, basically my groin, which is a super glamorous area. And they're about an inch each because when you have a PE, they stick a wire up your groin to get it out. And those are like, I was telling Hannah this, those healed really quickly after the surgery, but they're super purple and dark still. And I just hate them. Like the one like up by my neck, I don't hate as much because it's been easier to fade. But I do not like the ones on my leg. And I mean, I don't have as many scars as you, but I am curious, did you use anything to try to fade yours? Or were you just like, I got this, because you're so positive about them? So like,
first off, that's another, I think that's very interesting because that's a whole different other thing of trauma. Wow. Yeah. The fact that you survived and are still fucking killing it, acknowledge that. That's super amazing before I go on. Same thing like you. My scars, they definitely change colors. So mine were definitely more prominent, and especially the surgery scar. Surgery scar, you can't even really see. But because these were glass, so that's what I'm saying. Because when did you get your surgery?
July, end of July.
Right. So give it a good year. That color is going to really fade. Like I said, these, they're definitely, I forgot what color they really were, but they were a really prominent red, and they were raised a lot, especially the bulk. I had some purple as well, a little bit on the raised one. So then they weren't great because, you know, they're great when you're telling the story, but when you're just wearing something nice, you're like, ugh. You know, and I don't know if I ever did anything makeup wise or anything like that to cover them up. But yeah, just after the accident, I just remember biotin was encouraged for me to rub that on. And then extra sunscreen was really the things that the doctors were saying.
So what did they say to you about sunscreen? Because I'm curious about this, what they said to you.
Put it on them. And honestly, the doctors, see, that's the other thing, though, because there was so many other stuff, sunscreen was like number like 333rd on the priority list kind of thing. So skincare was not really discussed on the element of what do you do with these? I think it wasn't even the doctors. I don't even really remember having a conversation with the doctors saying this is what you should do. It was just talking to people and be like, you got to put sunscreen on that because the skin obviously was cut open. So it's very raw and rare. So you got to take extra care of it. That was kind of just the conversations had, not with doctors, but I think just with other people.
That's so interesting because I had the same thing where when I went back to the doctor in like September, I was asking them like, how do I get rid of this scar? I don't like this one, the one on my neck specifically, just because it was supposed to be so much smaller than it ended up being. And it ended up being expanded just because of the trauma that was happening. And all of this to say, like, all of these things that had happened, the skincare aspect of everything was definitely at the bottom of the list from all of these doctors. And it's also, I had a vascular surgeon, I had an anesthesiologist, I have a hematologist, I have a cardiovascular person. So out of these four doctors, you know, none of them specialize in skin. And I think to them, if when they're dealing with something that is life or death, skin seems sort of superficial. But it is, again, it's like what people see first. It's our largest organ in the body. It's resilient, but it also takes a huge beating. And I asked them, probably my third go back visit, I was like, look at my scar. It's not getting any better. Like, what can I do to help this? And they said Mederma, but that's not really going to help. He was like, there's really nothing you can do to help this unless you want to see a plastic surgeon or if you want to get laser therapy. And I was like, should I be using sunscreen? I asked. And he was like, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely use sunscreen. It was not something that my doctor team brought right. up. But so that's what I was curious, like what your experience was, because I think these doctors, when they're not a specialist, and I do see a dermatologist, but I have acne. So we usually just talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, but you also understand the fact that it's like, obviously save my life. That's like obviously priority one, but priority two, the funny thing was when they're putting the trach in, and my dad was saying how there's on the claws, they're like potential teeth damage. And my dad, bless his soul, was like, you know, don't mess up her teeth. So you need people yeah. like my dad to be like, yeah.
Advocates.
Yeah. You need some advocates.
Yeah, I think that one thing I was talking to Hannah before this was I really oscillate like between doing things to help my scar because I alternate treatments every night. I use bio oil and then I also use Mederma, but I use the Equate version, aka Walmart version, because it's so much cheaper. And I have noticed a difference. I don't know if it's just because time has just gone on. But I did go through a small period of time where I didn't put anything on my scar because I was like, this is the thing I can point to what happened to me. Because it was super scary not knowing what happened, but like feeling the pain and being in a lot of pain. And I have like scar tissue in my lung that you can't see, but I can feel when I walk, and I still have a clot in my arm and all this other stuff. But it's like, I survived this thing. Look at this part of me, this scar. I don't want to get rid of it because this is amazing, but I'm also like, I don't want people to look at it because it also makes me feel kind of gross. It was super traumatic to get this thing. So like, I really, sometimes I'm like, get rid of it, get rid of it. I'm trying to fade it all the time. And then other times I just am like proud that I have this thing to point to as to why I'm going through something still.
I really like that, what you were saying about it's the outward, in a way, we're both lucky, because if it was all internal stuff, it's hard to be like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain, like, or traumatic, like the trauma. Well, I can't see your trauma, and people have got their own problems, but if I can identify and I can see it on your body, that kind of really brings in validation to something that, yeah, you don't really fully feel my trauma, but you can sure as hell see it on me. So I think that's an interesting perspective, kind of giving people that relatability of like, yeah, this was hard. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have really accessible proof for sure. Where I don't know, like, I think what you said, Liz, too, about saying, like, you know, and this is not a good thing, but like mental health and PTSD and like that internal trauma is not at all visible. And it's unfortunate that that is a reason that people maybe have a harder time being empathetic or sympathetic. But I think, like you said, like being able to see that on your body, I mean, you can't deny that person's experience because it's right there. So I don't know, Ellen, what you were saying too is so interesting, because I guess I hadn't thought about, before you mentioned it, like that actually is sort of a protection in a way to have that scar when you're talking about your experience, to be like, hey, like this was real. This was really bad. And I don't need to over explain it or try to prove it to you because it's literally visible for everybody to see.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble sleeping after what happened to me because I was worried I was going to have a PE in my sleep.
Yeah.
And I got this habit of touching the scar next to my collarbone because I was just like, it's still there. That's something that really happened to me. Like, it's not just me like thinking it's fake. It's like, it's not just like a worry for no reason. It did happen. So like, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Oh yeah. No, cause I will 100% be like, am I just making this shit up? Because, oh, by the way, that totally sounds like a story from a movie. So it's really easy when you don't remember to be like, I just made that shit up. You know, I just went along with it. Everyone felt really bad for me and they just went along with it. And they're like, okay, yeah, you were in this car accident. So to have these kind of things and be like, oh yeah. So I like it in the sense of like maybe those down days when you're like not feeling super hot about yourself, you look at your arm or in your case, your neck, and you go, wow, well, first off, I'm amazing. Second off, other people can't do what I do and still get through it. Like, we are badasses because, for one thing, some people might have survived, but they might not have truly survived and was like, I'm going to keep doing life. And I think that's really, really cool that you're able to still be Ellen and still kind of be able to,
still be Liz.
Exactly. An even better form of it.
That makes me think of something, too. I was going to ask you, Liz, do you have advice for someone who might be listening that has scars and, you know, maybe doesn't feel as positively as you do about them and how you think about that and how that mindset could maybe be achievable?
Yeah, obviously, how you got the scar might be obviously different than mine. I mean, mine's a pretty extreme example, but it doesn't have to be an extreme example. Even a surgery, it could be a normal surgery, not even as severe as Ellen's, where it's like normal, where it's you are still doing something and you now have a physical outward representation of something that we all carry with, because we all deal with shit. We all have mental scarring that we can't show anybody, but you get to be the lucky one to actually get to show people your outward scars. You're kind of being a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more open to people. And I think that's giving you an opportunity to be more empathetic, kind of like what Ellen was saying, to be more connected to people, because now people are able to kind of see a scar that you're outwardly able to show people. And I think that's really, really cool. And I think that you're able to then relate to people on a deeper level than anyone else can. So look at it more this way. Be more empathetic with people. And also, you're a badass because a lot of other people probably couldn't handle the scars that you're carrying, both outwardly and inwardly.
I love that.
So good, honestly.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for talking to us about your experiences.
It was an honor. It was an honor. It was an honor. It was an honor.
That's going to be the name of the podcast. It was an honor with Liz Sexton.
Please, please, for the love of God, make that the title.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and tell your friends about us and subscribe to our Patreon if you feel like dropping some coin on two lovely girls. And if you don't, that's fine, but also you can.
Yep.
Our music is by
Blade 2.
Bye.
Bye.